you could do all four steps. You could dream it, believe it, learn it, plan it. And if you don't go do it, it's never going to happen. So all of it has to happen. And the action, you want to get from dream to action as fast as you can. The stuff in the middle is not important.
This is the naked truth about real estate investing. Your host, Javier, has already been through all the brain damage of this business, so you don't have to go through it. That way, you're not exposed to all of the risk of losing your shirt or getting caught with your pants down. So let's dive into another No BS episode right now.
Hello, everybody. I am Javier Hinojo, your host of The Naked Truth About Real Estate Investing. And today I have my good friend, Sean Thompson. He is in Plano, Dallas-Fort Worth area. He's with Thompson Multifamily Group. He's been an investor for quite some time, and he just bought his first large multifamily property. So we're going to talk to him about his past real estate investing experience, how that helped him to close his first large apartment building. So Sean, why don't you go ahead and tell the audience a little bit more about you?
Yeah, well, thanks, Javier. I appreciate you having me on. I always love talking to you. Your energy is amazing. So I really appreciate you having me on.
Lots of coffee, man. Lots of coffee.
Yeah, that's good. Whatever you're doing, it's working. So yeah, so I was a single family real estate investor for a long time. And single family was, you know, my goal has always been monthly income. I've always wanted to have an income level that sort of replaces my corporate or my wife's corporate income, right? And so the goal for me from the beginning has been financial independence with my real estate investing, right? I don't want to have to work to make the money. I was trying to find ways of having that income coming in, whether I'm awake or sleep or whatever I'm doing, right? And so real estate investing is a fantastic way to do that. But with single family, I was just never able to get enough velocity in my business that I was hitting the income goals that I wanted to for my future, right? I was okay with, you know, the money I was making and all those sorts of things. But leveling it up, it was just going really slow. And I was looking at my business thinking, well, this is going to take me 10 or 20 years to get to where I want to be, right? And I started thinking to myself, there's got to be a better way to do this. And I've always wanted to own an apartment building. So ever since I was younger, I would drive by an apartment on the highway and just think, man, if I could own one of those, I'd be all set. You know, that's not true, of course, but that was the thinking in my head. And I always thought that apartments were for big hedge funds or REITs or, you know, Wall Street guys, right? I didn't think a simple guy like me could do apartment investing on that level, right? And then I met Corey Peterson at one of my masterminds, one of my single family masterminds he was part of. And I heard his story and I thought, man, if he can do it, you know, because he's just a regular guy like me, you know, I thought if he can do it, I can do it, right? And then I heard a podcast with Tim Brotz. Tim Brotz's story is similar, you know, come from, you know, single family. They do multifamily. Both the guys started in single family. And so I went to Corey and I said, hey, Corey, you got to teach me how to do this. And he did. You know, he has an education and training program. And he showed me kind of the path to getting into multifamily. And that was probably 3 years ago. It took me about a year to kind of really decide to even make the move. And then once I did, it was just a matter of slowly easing out of single family and moving into multifamily. And we finally got our first deal. I guess we just closed on it. We're in month two now, I guess, of operations. But that took us to probably, you know, really about a year and a half, 12 months of solid work to get that deal. But just from the time we looked at it to the time we closed, it was a 6 month window too. So I guess you would say it would took us about a year and a half, really, about 12 months really to get the kind of the thing started. So, and that's where we're at today. Today we're looking for our next deal, really.
All right, perfect. So I want to talk a little bit about, I have this, I'm not in this shirt, I have my $1 billion boardroom, but on my regular Javier Hinojo shirt, would I have the trifecta REI in the back? I have a hashtag trifecta REI, and I have number one, number two, number three. And it's basically the three steps to do anything, especially if you want to buy an apartment building. Number one is to believe. Number two is to network. And then number three is to take action. So you basically hit each one of those spots, which is awesome. So thank you so much, Sean, for that.
Yeah, mine's the five steps. I have five steps right.
Yeah, you have dream it, believe it, learn it, plan it, and then do it.
Yeah, right? Those are my five steps.
So
yeah.
We're done with the podcast, guys. We're done. Let's go. No, I'm just kidding. We got turkey tomorrow. No. Look, it's pretty cool how you said when you were younger, you know, you would pass by these buildings and say, hey, who owns these buildings? Like, can I own one of these buildings, right? And right. That's what plants the seed, right? You're like, okay, I got the seed now. I'm like, okay, I see myself at someday, you know, owning a building like that. So just talk a little bit about that, right? Going from doing other kinds of investments to actually trying to convince your own brain, trying to switch it, you know, something saying, hey, I can actually buy a building like this. Talk to me a little bit about that. What's that kind of process for you?
Yeah. So I think all of us have a dream, right? Everybody runs around with a dream in their mind, what they want to have in life, what they want to be in life, what they want to do in life, right? So everybody has this dream that they're working with. And for me, it was always financial freedom. And I knew apartments afforded financial freedom to somebody. I just thought they were bigger than me, right? So I didn't think I had that capacity. But once I saw that someone was doing it, my dream started to change, right? It changes from something that I aspire to something that could possibly happen, right? The difference in belief is I can see you doing it, Javier, and believe that it's possible, but believing that I can do it is a whole other level, right? Because I can see you accomplishing your goals and buying apartment buildings and things like that. But convincing myself that I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, I'm fast enough, I can do it is really the first hurdle that I have to overcome for me anyway. I think a lot of people go through that. So believing that it's possible for you is really the question you have to ask yourself. Can I do this? And part of that is just seeing that Javier's doing it or somebody else is doing it that's similar and saying to yourself, okay, what does Javier have that I don't have, right? What do I need to learn that Javier knows, right? Or what does Javier have that I need to get? Those are things you have to start doing to make yourself believe it's possible for you.
That's awesome, because you just hit the number one, right? You got to believe it. You got to dream it.
Right.
And then you mentioned the second point, right? You got to actually, once you start connecting with people, you say, Corey, like, hey, he can do it. He just, you know, normal guy, he can do it. You know, just
right.
You know, stuff different. Like, or this person does it, or, you know, Javier does it this way. And once you get a chance to hang out, go have dinner. We had dinner, you know, a few weeks ago. Yeah. You're having a conversation. You're like, you know, there's nothing special about me or about anybody. We just believe and we hang out and we do different stuff. That's all it is. Once you see these people doing it, you're like, man, they're not that smart. I'm not saying about Corey. I'm just talking about myself. You know, yeah. Like, hey, look, man, Javier's not that smart. How the heck can he do it? If he can do it, I can do it. Or whatever the reason is in your own mind that switch, it's actually flipped, right? But the key point here is you were hanging around those kind of people.
Right.
That's the people you're hanging out with, right? So definitely got to network. You got to actually get out and talk to people that are buying apartment buildings if that's what you want to buy. All right. So then get me from there, right? Get me from where you believed to where you met some people that were doing it. You're like, if they can do it, why not me? Let me see what I need to do to kind of, what do I need to learn? What do they know that I don't know? And once I learn that, let's talk about, you know, number three, right? Let's take some action, right? Like plan it and then do it. It took you a year, year and a half, but you took some action. So tell me the ups and downs of that.
Well, that whole year was action, right? So it was all of it. Once I believed, it took me a year to change my mind. So I met Corey. I saw that it was possible because he was doing it. It took me a year to convince myself that I could do it. So once I convinced myself that I could do it, I started going out to the next level, which is getting with the people that know how to do it and that can do it and that are doing it. And I started learning from them, right? So I started learning as much as I could from Corey and podcasts, you know, everything, where anywhere I could find information, I was getting the information, right? And then I started planning out. So once I had an education level where I thought, okay, I can do this. I feel comfortable doing this, you know, and I had a little bit of a background in real estate already. So it wasn't like I was completely cold, but anybody could do this. I started planning it out. Well, as I'm doing that, I'm taking steps towards making these things a reality, right? So once I have a plan, you know, how many phone calls do I have to make? How many brokers do I have to talk to? How many events do I have to go to meet the right people? How many, whatever those plans are, you have to go and do those. You could do all four steps before. You could dream it, believe it, learn it, and plan it. And if you don't go do it, it's never going to happen, right? So all of it has to happen. And the action, you want to get from dream to action as fast as you can, right? The stuff in the middle is not important. You want to take your dream and make it a reality. And the only way to really do that is to go do it, right? You have to get out there and hustle and take massive action and get out there and do the things that you know are going to be painful, but have to be done in order to reach the goal, right? So that's awesome. That's what I think is the most, that last step is the absolute most critical part.
Would you say that that's the part where most people get discouraged? Just because, say it took you a year, right? How many no's, how many offers did you make? How many times did you get rejected, right? How many times did it not work?
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah.
I spent a ton of money. I spent all my time. You know, I don't know if you know this, but my business is a family business. So my wife works with me, my daughter's my partner. So my whole family's invested in this. So we're all in and we're all taking action all the time. And it's frustrating to go through that process and you have everything you have is on the line and you're losing most of the time. You're not winning very much at all. You're losing deals all the time. I was losing deals you know, I'd get into best in finals and someone would come in at $1 million over me or come in with $1 million hard day one and stuff. You know, you're just getting killed by these other offers. And you're just thinking to yourself, some days you're like, man, I don't know. I don't know if I'm built for this, right? But you just keep going. You just got to keep, you got to believe first, right? And then you got to keep going. And so we just kept taking action. Every day we would get up and do our process. We would, you know, call brokers, get emails, look at deals, go and find deals and just keep it to our process every day. And eventually it paid off.
Oh, that's super cool. I love the way you explained the whole process, right? From all the way from just making that switch all the way to actually getting all those no's and, you know, until you got all those following best. And then all of a sudden somebody comes in with hard money. Somebody comes in $500,000, $1 million over. You're like,
yeah,
I'm not coming in with $1 million hard. Like, holy crap, that's a lot of money. If you don't close on this, you lose that money, basically. That's what that means. When somebody comes in hard with money, basically means that's non-refundable, you know, for the most part, right? Unless they have like, they can't clear title or something like that. I mean, you get your money back. But ideally, for what, any other reason besides that, you know, you lose your money. And that is tough. It's tough to go in there and throw some money hard. And yeah, sometimes you'll lose those battles. So tell me why you won the last battle with the first property you bought. How did that work out?
Well, we were learning the whole time, right? So we had submitted probably 20 offers prior to getting this first deal. You know the process for getting to that point, right? So we get an email or call from a broker or something. We get a property in our system somehow, and we start an underwriting process. Our first step is kind of a quick and dirty math, we call it, to see if it hits some metrics. And then we dive into the property. But if by the time we get to an LOI phase on a property, we can have easily 40 hours of underwriting in that LOI, right? So we went through 20 of those before we got our first deal. And a lot of the things that you learn along the process just by doing those things. So we're getting no's and no's and no's, but we're learning something every time, right? So I'm learning, you know, what the brokers like to talk about or what they want to hear or some of the things they're interested in or some of the things that can give me an advantage on the next time we go through a best and final. And we're making notes on all that stuff and we're improving our process the whole time, right? So those 20 no's that we got were necessary for us to get to where we had an offer that really took us to the final best offer, right? And I think the difference for us was one of the tricks that I did, I don't know if it's a trick, it's not really a trick. I was building out my team is at the same time, my lender team, my legal team, my insurance group, you know, all those different people that my property management group, all those people that you need to do these larger multifamily deals, I was building out that team. And when I got to this final property, I just talked to the brokers. I said, hey, look, who do you work with on a regular basis that you would recommend for all those different things? And they essentially gave me their referrals. Well, I went out and interviewed those groups and said, hey, can you be our property manager group? Can you be our lender? Can you be our whatever? And because we're new, we lacked credibility. We had, you know, a little bit of credibility, but we lacked that credibility with someone that they knew better. Well, what I did was I built a team around me that the broker was very comfortable with, that the broker knew, you know, they knew him personally. These guys deal with each other all the time. And so that leveled my game up in the offering phase, right? Because now I'm not the unknown quantity. Now I'm the unknown quantity that has a team that's very well known, right?
Yeah, so that is awesome.
That's one of the things I think that made the difference for us to go from being in best in finals to actually getting the deal, right? So the brokers that we were dealing with had a very high comfort level with the team we put together to close this deal, right?
That is awesome.
I think that's really what took us to the next level.
You know, you say you made about 20 offers to get your first deal. You know what I'm very curious to find out eventually, Sean, which I need you to let me know. I need to find out how many more offers you got to make to get your second property.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not 20. Hopefully it's like, maybe it goes at 15, right? Maybe then eventually it goes at 10, right? Maybe you start getting one out of every 10, right? Well, I don't know what the number is going to be, right? But hopefully it's less than 20.
Yeah. Well, we have a pretty high success rate. I think my little team worked really well together and I can see opportunities pretty well. You know, I've been doing this single family game for a long time. So I kind of understand what a nice property looks like, what kind of the work is going to look like, what I can create a community, you know, around. So I think we're really skilled in that. So we go after properties that we really like, I think, for the most part. And so for us, I think we're very successful. And we actually I was awarded a deal prior to this first deal. We messed it up in negotiations. So we had a deal before this one. It's really about 10 offers, I think, to get our next deal, I would think, based on just kind of our history.
Sure.
We should have had our first deal months before, But we, like I said, we had any experience and didn't know a couple of things and lost it in the final negotiations. But so, yeah, I think 10 maybe would be our magic number, but I'm willing to do 20. If we need to do 20 to get the next deal, I don't care. That's what we'll do.
That is awesome. Sean, well, I appreciate you sharing that journey from starting from the beginning to closing your first large multifamily, and hope to see many more that you close. Now, this is called The Naked Truth About Real Estate Investing. So I ask this question all the time is, what has been your biggest mistake?
I don't know. I make mistakes constantly. So I don't know that I've made any big, big mistakes recently, but it's a lot of little stuff. I think I'm just kind of comfortable with being wrong all the time, right? You're going to make mistakes constantly and you need to learn from them and recover from them quickly as you can and take that lesson into the next negotiation or the next process or whatever it is. So I don't know that I've made any huge mistakes recently, but my biggest mistake was being scared. I do have one, sorry. This is really my biggest mistake. My biggest mistake was being scared to do this business.
Okay.
And postponing my entry into it, right? It took me a year to convince myself that I was good enough to do this or that I could do it. And that was kind of silly, because there's no magic to this business. It's just hard work. You got to understand it. You got to learn it, and you got to get out there and do the hard work. So I really wish I had started 3 years ago, because I don't know where I would be with that extra year, right?
Yeah, so that is awesome.
If I really thought about it, that would be my biggest mistake, I think. And then, like I said, I'm okay with making mistakes, and you're going to make a ton of mistakes, and hopefully they're small, and you just want to learn from them as fast as you can and take those to the next process with you.
Cool. You know what? Something you and I have in common, it took me also a year. Somebody told me in October, kind of said, hey, buy an apartment building, it'll change your life. And it just planted that seed. But I'm like, nah, how am I going to do it? I don't know nothing about that. I don't know anybody. You know, it's just.
Right.
And then I started seeing how people were doing it. I'm like, okay. And then it took me a year, the next year till September, to finally say, okay, I'm going to do it. It took me a whole year.
Same. You know,
so
yeah.
It's okay. And I'll definitely say I should have started 5 years ago, 6 years ago, right? Shoot, I wish I was started in 2013. You know, that would have been, we'd be heroes right now with everything that happened back then. But you appreciate your honesty and letting us know exactly that you were actually afraid. You were scared of you taking that leap a lot sooner.
Yeah.
So Sean, how do people get a hold of you? Podcast, Facebook, email, how do we get a hold of you?
Yeah, we have all that stuff. So probably the easiest, most single place to go would be just Thompson Multifamily Group.
And it's Thompson, is Thomson. There's no P in there.
Yeah, no P.
No P.
It's on my logo behind me, but So Thomson. Yeah, ThomsonMultifamilyGroup.com. And you can get to our podcast there. You can get to all of our socials there. You can get to our blogs there, our investor portal, whatever you want to get to. Everything is on our website. So that's probably the best place to go.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I'll make sure that that'll be also on the show notes.
Yeah.
Now, this brings me, Sean, to the favorite part of the show. So, which I don't know if you knew this part of the show.
No.
You and I are going to start singing a song together. It's almost Thanksgiving. My question for you is, how in the world do you sit there so patiently and just not even move? I want to jump out of my seat right now.
Yeah, that's why I love you. I can tell you're ready to go.
You know, it's like you're sitting there nice and patient. So I envy that sometimes.
What are we doing? We're going to sing a song?
No, we're not going to sing a song. No.
Oh, I was going to say, you really don't want me to sing.
So I have this roulette. It's called The Naked Truth Roulette, which I'm going to ask you three random questions. It's got nothing to do with investing.
Yeah.
We're going to get to know Sean today, make sure that he is not a robot and he's a real human. So we are going to start this roulette. All right, let's spin this. Ready? And let's go. First question for Sean Thompson. Let's see what we got here on the Naked Roulette. All right, here we go. First question. What is your favorite food?
Oh man, Javier, I love food. So it's one of my worst vices right now, food. So
What is the worst vice then that you have?
Yeah, I think cheeseburgers are probably.
That's delicious though, man. That's really good.
Yeah, but they're killing me. You can't eat them too much, you know? So I eat them too many times. That's my problem.
Cheeseburgers are great. All right, let's go ahead and ask you the question number two. All right, what is the worst chore that you have to do or that you just don't like doing?
I don't do anything I don't like to do, Javier.
So your wife doesn't make you wash dishes or throw the garbage or cut the lawn or nothing like that. You don't do something that you just don't like doing. Like I don't like putting away dishes. I love washing dishes. I just hate putting them away.
No, my life, I've gotten it narrowed down to where I really only do what makes me happy, honestly. If I can't pay someone to do it, it just...
All right.
You know,
you're the first person on my show that gets a redial, a re-roll. Because that was not an answer. Anyway, that's okay. You don't have one, so you don't do chores. I'm like, that's anyway. So let's go. Question number two. Question take number two is, have you ever cried at a movie?
Yeah, yeah, sure. I'm all sure right. I have. I'm an emotional guy. I get emotional. Anytime you talk about my family or something like that, man, I get emotional. So I'm sure I cried at a bunch of movies.
You have your daughter. How many kids do you have again, Sean?
Just one daughter, yeah.
And how old is she? She's 24? She's
23.
23. She married? Not yet?
No, not yet.
Oh, man, you're going to cry like a baby.
Probably, yeah. When she gets married. I'm sure I will.
You're going to cry every day.
Yeah. All right. I can cry just thinking about her.
I know. I see a movie where this daughter's getting married. Everybody looks at me. My daughter looks at me. The kids look at me. I'm already crying.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because I only have one daughter. Anyway, all right. Last question for you. Oh, this is going to be good. If you could take any celebrity on a date, who would it be? Dead or alive? Don't worry. Your wife's not going to listen to this.
I don't know. Like on a date or someone that you find interesting, you want
to
hang out with?
It has to be the opposite sex. It has to be, you know, Marilyn Monroe. I don't know. Madonna. Who would you take on a date?
Oh, I've always thought Jennifer Aniston was cute, I guess. Maybe her.
Yeah, she's not cute. She's pretty hot. She's good looking.
Yeah.
I'll say it for you, Sean. I'll put words in your mouth. Awesome. You survived the Naked Truth roulette. Thank you, Sean, for being a good sport.
Yeah.
All right. You don't see that every day on a podcast. Just three random, you know, random questions. You got four questions, Sean. You're the first person that gets a bonus question because you don't do chores. That should have been my answer when I took the test myself.
Yeah.
But awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate your time and happy Thanksgiving tomorrow to you. And best of luck in anything future that you have. And I know I'm definitely looking forward to working with you on some projects out in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, 100%, Sean. So thanks again for being on the show. I am Javier Hinojo. Don't lose your shirt. Just as promised, I like to give out free stuff, some tools and tips that's actually helped me in my business. There's nothing out there like getting some free stuff that people have spent a lot of time, energy in putting together. It's like a referral. Somebody asked me for an electrician. You don't know what kind of brain damage I had to go through to give you this good referral for an electrician. You got to appreciate referrals from people, okay? Because they went through a lot to find that one good person. So I'm going to give you my due diligence template for buying apartment buildings. It's attached to monday.com. It is an affiliate link, so they're going to send me a kickback. Not a lot, but a little bit. But you can either download it as an Excel, or you can put it on monday.com. Monday.com is pretty cool because it's a project management platform software. It's super cool. I use it all the time for my social media, for my team, tracking deals, doing tasks for everybody. It's actually pretty good. You can track construction. It's a project management platform. It's a really cool Monday, like the day, monday.com. So my due diligence checklist is there for free for you.
This has been The Naked Truth. Our mission is to give it to you raw. If you got value from this episode, you're invited to leave an honest written review and share this episode with a friend. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.